This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Miami now facing a third down, under 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. 10-10 is our score. Lucas Carniero hit a 42-yard field goal as we went to break. Promising drive, honestly, should have led to more as the refs miss a blatant late hit on Trinidad Chambliss out of bounds. The third down is completed with ease, and Miami picks up a very easy third down, third and five, just a pitch and catch, and that'll keep the possession alive here for Miami.
That was way too easy. Carson Beck.
Confusion in the secondary.
Just pitch and catch out there in the secondary after the play. The Miami receiver taunting the DB, talking trash. Shut up and just get back in the huddle.
As he steps out of bounds at around the 40.
About the lack of discipline. Miami should have been flagged for that late hit out of bounds.
They were very fortunate.
Got lucky to get away with that.
It was Keelan Marion who had the reception there. And we will get a short screen pass here. If you're Miami, you do get the ball to start the second half. For Mario Cristobal to head into the locker room with any sort of lead here. They've had three drives, field goal drive, and the second one, or third one, 15-play touchdown drive. So how aggressive does Shannon Dawson and this offense get here on second and six, nearing the two-minute timeout as Carson Beck...
No pressure.
Nope. And now he's going to try to go deep. He's got a man
wide open.
Touchdown. And there it is. First half over.
You've got to get some pressure on the quarterback. Ole Miss had zero pressure. Beck just dancing around. He could have pitched a tent back there and had a time to hit. Was that Malachi Tony? That was Marion.
Keelan Marion.
52-yard touchdown, Pat. Wide open, Tim. He was 15 yards behind the defense. And that was a pitiful defensive breakdown there by the Rebels. At one point, it looked like you were really good on your first half under, and all of a sudden, it's over. 2:18 to go in the first
I believe there was a clip where Matt said, don't want to jinx you, but you're looking good on your first half under. And now, just like that, the Ole Miss defense, which was the concern, they can be had. And all day to throw for Carson Beck. Wide open for Marion down the middle of the field. Clear confusion as they're showing the replay here. Safety bites on the tight end across the middle. Carson Beck, he ate a sandwich, I think, back there. I think it was pastrami. And then buries it to Marion. 3-0 after the first quarter. 17-10 now. And Trinidad Chambliss will get the ball back and an opportunity to have this thing go way over the total. But a good pass from Carson Beck, and just like that, we've got ourselves a 17-10 Miami lead. The first half total sails over, and the live number now, I'm waiting for it to update here, 55.5 is where we're at for the total, and 6.5 for Miami.
You wonder why I don't bet many totals? It's so random a lot of times in these total decisions. Tim, this game is trending as a dead under. Now, all of a sudden, the live total is 55, right?
Could have got 40.5, I believe, was the lowest total I saw. It was 40.5, and now it's 56.5.
How much different do you think this game would be if Lacy did not break off this 73-yard run, right?
Yeah.
It was a slow-paced game, not much happening. You get the big run, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose.
14 of 18 for Carson Beck, 156 and a touchdown, and a couple of plays that have kind of been pivotal so far. You mentioned the Kawan Lacy touchdown run untouched up the middle. Malachi Tony on a third down broke a couple of tackles, kept the third drive alive for a touchdown that led to a touchdown, and then a big third and five. Marion was wide open, sideline, next play, touchdown pass. And a couple big plays, breaks in the defense, and just like that, first half goes over despite 3 points in the first quarter.
Well, as you mentioned, you said of the final four teams, which unit did you say is the weakest?
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss defense. Ole Miss defense, the weakest of all the units in the Final Four. First two drives resulted in punts. The last two drives resulted in 10 points for Ole Miss. And here we are at the two-minute timeout, second and six, and might not be done with the scoring yet in the first half. But Ole Miss defense definitely living down to low expectations here so far.
And you're starting to see Miami, who we had questions about the offense, they're seeing not only long sustained drives, but the ability to make some big time plays down the field. And so far, we've got touchdowns in this game as Marion breaks one. Keelan Marion wide open for a score. We got some anytime touchdowns. Where was Keelan Marion on this? He was plus 370. So he was able to find the end zone wide open there. And right now, the other touchdowns, Chamar Brown for Miami, and the game's first touchdown came courtesy of Kawan Lacy. So 17-10 is the score at the two-minute timeout. What does Ole Miss have in store, Matt, for this rebuttal? Because they don't get the ball to start the second half, so they really have to score here.
Well, and the good thing they've got going here is they got the best kicker I've seen in college football this season. Lucas Carnero can hit from long distance, Tim. So you get in field goal range, you got a good shot to get points on the board here right before the half. And you get, you know, past midfield, you're going to be in close to Carnero's field goal range. So I would say that there's a decent chance here Ole Miss is going to score here before the half, 17-10. And they're definitely going to open up the offense. I got one question for you. Are we going to see Kawan Lacy much more during this game? If he's got a hamstring issue, that's a big problem. Against Georgia last week, Lacy had 22 carries for 98 yards, two touchdowns. His long run in that game was 16 yards. On that 73-yard run tonight, it looked to you like he pulled up a little bit lame, right?
Yeah, on the sidelines, he was stretching out that right leg a little bit as well, and we will see. Logan Diggs was on the field for their most recent drive, more of the pass-catching threat out of the backfield, and he actually had a couple of had a good catch, couple of nice runs, and then ultimately Trinidad Chambliss and company were able to move the ball down the field to get a field goal on that drive. Now, this is what I expected more so in the second half, Matt. I had a feeling that maybe the first half would play out like it did for the first quarter, but things would open up and become a bit of a shootout in the second half, and we'll see if that's the case, how this plays. This is, not to state the obvious, this is a pretty important drive here for Ole Miss because Miami gets the ball to start the second half, and we've seen two drives where Miami's taken about 8 minutes off the clock. Mm-hmm. So
I know
you got to get something here if you're Ole Miss.
You do, and they had to get something on their previous drive, too. If your defense is not going to get stops, you got to get something basically every time you get the ball back. So here we go. Chambliss is going to be in the shotgun to open the second down play here right after the two-minute timeout. Ole Miss has got to get some points on the board here before the half. Tim, what's interesting is that Miami on the money line right now is minus 360, 6.5-point favorite. But if Ole Miss can score before the half, that those numbers are really going to depress here. Let's see what happens here on the second and sixth play. You're going to hand this off up the middle, which is a little bit
and
surprising.
Diggs is still in there, by the way. That's still Diggs. We have not seen Kawan
Lacy. Lacy has not returned to the game.
Yeah, this is a pretty big development here. Logan Diggs started his career at Notre Dame, went to LSU,
he's
has been at Ole
back.
Miss. Yeah, he's a solid back, but he's not Kawan Lacy. So we get glimpses of Kawan Lacy still on the sidelines. So massive third down here, and Ole Miss taking their time a little bit here on this third down.
Not going to get the first down here. Not going to get it.
And, as they go direct snap.
Oh, come on. Stop with the direct snap Wildcat nonsense. That foiled Miami's first drive. And that stops Ole Miss on third down. What are you doing with that? You've got a quarterback who's the most dangerous player on the field, and you're going to snap it to a running back
on
third down.
Your backup running back, by the way, too.
What's the point of that play call? Forget what I said about Charlie Weiss Jr. doing a great job, by the way. Seriously, yeah. What is that play call?
That was
you're going to take the ball out of your quarterback's hands on third and four. Doesn't make much sense, does it?
Fourth and two, and now they're going to punt the ball back to Miami. Yeah, that is
third down, you run the ball. Second down, you run the ball up the middle. Third down, You basically run your backup running back in the Wildcat, and you get stuffed.
I mean, I think right now Miami, after being aggressive on their last drive, Matt,
be aggressive again.
You've got an opportunity to kind of salt this game away. You score here, you're getting the ball back to start the second half.
I can tell you
half.
What I'm calling right away, Tim. If I'm the Miami offense coordinator, you get the ball back. You saw how that defensive secondary can break down. Throw it deep. Take some deep shots here. Take some shots against this Ole Miss defense. You would always ask, all right, what's the right thing to do? Well, I'll tell you, ask yourself, what does the defense not want you to do here? What do they not want you to do? They don't want you to take deep shots.
No, they want you to run
the ball. They want you to run the ball up the middle and run the clock and go to halftime. So don't do what they want you to do. Throw it deep.
Miami has
make
the
some
ball.
Shots down the field.
17-10, live number. 7.5, live total, 54.5. Hey, folks, reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening. Podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. And because Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN, you get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. Head on over to VSiN.com/advertise or email us at advertising@vsin.com. I hope Mario's aggressive here. Just for the sake of, and he wants to be aggressive and he gets sacked. Good for the rushing
Tim,
total.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yep. Rushing total, down it goes. Man, this last 15 minutes has been really fun. Really fun. It's got to be 17-10. I'm going to lose by a hook, and Carson Beck just gets absolutely debacled on a deep throw attempt.
That's the first time all night.
Good times.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
After the sack of Carson Beck, Ole Miss utilized the timeout, and Miami got ultra-conservative, three straight runs up the middle, and now Trinidad Chambliss and this Ole Miss offense will get the ball at their own 31-yard line. They have no timeouts, but the clock will stop momentarily after first downs. So Trinidad Chambliss, can he pull some magic here, Matt, and get this Ole Miss team maybe into field goal range? As we've discussed, Lucas Carniero is an elite kicker. And if they can get them to, what, the 35-yard line, 38-yard line, they're in his range.
Yeah, not played well by the Hurricanes right there. I like the decision to throw it on first down, but Carson Beck takes the sack. Then, Tim, I think you just got to commit to it. Throw the ball on second down, throw it on third down. Burning the timeout's not a big deal there, right? Because Ole Miss can control the clock with its offense here at the end of the half. And at that point, Miami just said, hey, let's make the Rebels burn their timeouts. Let's see what Chambliss does here. Try to get the Ole Miss offense in field goal range right before the half.
Yeah, I imagine they'll be pretty aggressive. They get it out to Logan Diggs, who's able to break a tackle, get out of bounds. Right. So he does save some time getting out of bounds.
That would have been disastrous if he got tackled in bounds.
By the way, if you're just joining us, no Kawan Lacy. He had a 73-yard touchdown run. But after that, he was seen on the sidelines kind of stretching out the hamstring. We have not seen him return to action since the 73-yard touchdown run. It was the game's first touchdown, also worth noting as well. So 46 seconds to go in the first half. Ole Miss has the ball at their own 35-yard line. Can they get into field goal range before the end of the half? Miami will get the ball to start the second half. And Trinidad Chambliss with a beautiful throw, Matt, to Wallace. And now we'll see this. This is where the offense shines in the hurry up here. And Harrison Wallace with the reception there. Lucas Carniero in the All-State Sugar Bowl had a 55-yarder, 56-yarder, and the game winner was from about 47 yards. So will he be able to do that again here, Matt, if they get into field goal range, as there's 32 seconds to go? Live number right now, as we're watching it, down to 6.5 total, 54.5 right now.
I think most people were watching this Pacers-Hornets game going down to the wire in Charlotte. 106 all, Tim, with 4 minutes to go.
Massive one for our win total, Matt. Massive.
Shambliss in the shotgun here. He's one completion away from field goal range, and that's going to put him right on the fringe of field goal range at the 40-yard line. That'd be about a 57-yard field goal attempt. 25 seconds to go.
They're going to spike the ball here.
Got to spike it on first down. You're right.
Yep.
And then all you need is about a 5-yard completion, another spike, and try to get three on the board here right before halftime. Still 24 seconds. What would you do here? Would you take a shot at the end zone or not?
I would definitely try to figure out where the soft part of this prevent is for Miami. Do you go to the middle of the field? You got time to go to the middle of the field, run up, spike the ball, even if it's not a first down. There's definitely, they are playing massive prevent defense right now. So you've got an opportunity to find some holes, and Mario Cristobal is going to call a timeout. Dan Saley is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on the first half and what he is potentially thinking of doing in the second half. Worth noting, once again, Miami will get the ball to start the second half. How much will this affect the total, Matt, if this field goal, if they are able to get into field goal range as they put together a montage of the Sugar Bowl field goals we saw from Lucas Carniero? Would you, right now it's 54.5.
Mm-hmm.
If we're assuming, which is not always a wise thing to do in sports betting, but if we assume they make a field goal, we're looking at a second half total of 24.5 if you bet over right now.
I don't know. I mean, do you know? Who knows? Who knows? Totals annoy the hell out of me, to be honest.
Oh, they're great, man. I'm really happy.
I bet you're really happy about your first half under bet, too. So, I mean, there's sometimes I see a total I can't resist. I've bet some totals with reasonable success this season, but I don't even want to take a stab at this one. All right. Chris the Bear Felica, by the way, in the Friday night
comp. Oh, ooh, my man. Goodness gracious.
Shambliss almost threw a pick. Where was that pass going?
Now this is pretty the interesting decision.
They're in range.
They are in range.
They're in range.
But do you do a jailbreak to bring out the – man, that is a bad decision by Trinidad Shambliss, wow. And he is fortunate that Miami dropped this interception. That is a bad decision.
How'd he drop the ball?
Man.
He's playing defense, not wide receiver. All right, Shambliss, shotgun again. You need about a 5-yard completion for a first down.
No, it's third and 10.
No, it's third and 10.
Oh, he drops it.
Could have made the catch and got out of bounds. He drops the ball. 16 seconds left. You're going to have a 57-yard field goal attempt.
It looked promising and then ended up in disaster. Well, fortunate.
First, you got a defense back dropping the ball. Then you got a receiver dropping the ball. And now we've got Lucas Carniero, who's been money from long range against Georgia. He made from 55 and 56 yards. This is going to be a 58-yard attempt.
Man, you're looking at the live line, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Is Carniero going to get it? He's got the accuracy. The distance is there. That dude is incredible.
I'm telling you, he's better than most. I said half the kickers in the NFL. Most of the kickers in the NFL. How did the Buffalo Bills trot the stiff out there to kick? And you got a guy like Lucas Carniero out here. I got to tell you.
That is.
He is probably worth.
He bombed that kick with ease.
Tim, considering how the NFL now is so dependent on kickers and how these games are swayed by kickers. Just look at the Ravens-Steelers game last Sunday night. Do you think a guy like Lucas Carniero is worth a third-round draft pick? Kickers win or lose a lot of games for you.
I feel like every time you spend a third-round pick on a kicker, they stink.
This kid's the real deal, too.
I know. He is, but he's a junior.
That's 58 yards, and he made that easily.
I'm going in the portal,
Matt. He wants to make 55, 56, and 58 in the last 2 weeks.
Going in the portal, I'm saying, give me $1 million for this right leg.
I'll tell you what. These guys win or lose a lot of games. People don't handicap kickers much. It's just a bit of a wild card, but Lucas Carnero, I thought, could be the edge that the Rebels need tonight. We'll see how it plays out.
Oh, my gosh. No timeouts for Miami, but they do kick the ball out of bounds here. So Miami will get the ball. I would imagine they're not going to be ultra-aggressive here.
Based on the way the Hurricanes have been calling plays, I don't think they're going to throw it deep here. I would. But again, it's not the NFL where you get the spot of the foul on a pass interference call. You only get 15 yards. I would still take a shot at it here if you trust your quarterback, and you should trust a senior quarterback like Carson Beck. Take a shot. Let's look at the contest plays and the Circa Friday Football Invitation.
Another negative rush
oh,
for
no.
me.
Oh, no. Carson Beck. Is that a two-yard loss?
Huh? He ran for 6 yards. untouched in the first half, and then he's taken a sack. He threw a ball backwards. He goes into the locker room. -3 yards, I believe, is the official number there. All right, Matt, you mentioned it. We've got some plays in the Circa Friday Football Invitational.
When you hear that sinister laugh from Tim Murray, you know it's something's not going well. Friday Football Invitational plays on this one tonight. Scott Pritchard and Frank Carulli on Miami -3. Kenny White, Ole Miss +3. The Bear, Chris Felica, Miami Ole Miss under the total of 51.5. I don't think the Bear is going to be happy with the way that first half played out, although his Hurricanes are leading 17-13.
Yeah, I think he'll be very happy if his beloved Hurricanes win. I'm assuming, I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming the Bear has some Miami futures in his pocket.
Oh, sure he does.
He loves him some.
By the way, Miami's going to receive to open the second half.
So, Matt, let's look at some first-half stats. It's 17-13 Miami. They've had the ball for 22 minutes and 44 seconds. They outgained Ole Miss 228-145. Ole Miss 0 of 5 on third downs. Mm-hmm. And this is only a four-point game.
And Ole Miss's stud running back, Kawan Lacy, is out of the game right now.
Yeah, he went to the locker room early. I imagine he'll get some treatment. So will we see Kawan Lacy again? If he does return, how effective will he be? So you kind of look at it two ways. One, Miami should be up more. They dominated that first half. So maybe you look at, do you look at Miami in the second half? Or you say, Ole Miss avoided utter disaster and found a little bit of success offensively late in that first half with a couple of nice drives.
That's one of those situations where I feel like both teams are going to the locker room happy.
Yeah.
Right? Miami up 4. We'll take it.
They both have hope.
Hurricanes should have been up more. I think Ole Miss lucky to be down 4. But Miami is going to receive to open the second half, and that could tilt the game in their favor. Anyway, we've got Dan Saley coming up here in a few minutes. We'll see if Dan Saley's got an opinion on what to bet here as we head to halftime.
4-point lead for Miami. First half over hits. Miami covers the first half as well. Second half line, Miami -1.5. Dan Saley will give us his thoughts on what he saw in the first half as the Canes have a 4-point lead over Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
30 minutes in the books at the Fiesta Bowl. Winner heads to Miami for the national championship a week from Monday. Will Miami get an opportunity to play in their home stadium, Matt? They lead 17-13. They will get the ball to start the second half. They have a big touchdown strike from Carson Beck in this one to Marion, and also a touchdown run in this contest courtesy of Charmar Brown. Also, Ole Miss, Kawan Lacy scored the game's first touchdown. However, Matt was not seen since dealing with what looks to be hamstring injury. Dan Saley often joins us talking college football, and now's the perfect time to react to what we saw there in the first half. So live number right now, and I'm using DraftKings, Dan, has Miami as a 5.5-point favorite, total 56.5. Before we dive into the lines, what was your initial takeaway from the first half down there in Glendale?
Well, Miami was, you know, statistically dominant in this half. You look at that, 13 first downs to six, you know, 228 yards to 145, time of possession massively. And then on third down, you know, Ole Miss was 0-5, whereas Miami was 5-9. But yet, Ole Miss is only down four, and I got this feeling that as the Ole Miss players are running to the locker room, they're probably, you know, kind of chuckling to themselves that they didn't play very well, but yet they're only down four. And I think Miami's got to be feeling downtrodden a bit. There's a big psychological issue happening right here that could affect the second half, I would say.
Dan, what was your pregame bet here?
So I laid three with Miami. My heart really wanted Ole Miss to go because, to me, if we could have like an Indiana Ole Miss national championship game, I just, that would be epically awesome. So I really wanted Ole Miss to win in my heart, but my head tells me Miami, simply because of statistical rushing dominance. Ole Miss is like 55th among power teams against the run. Their only hope really is Trinidad Shablis and some explosive plays. Kawan Lacy obviously had that big play. Haven't seen him since. And for me, that's the X factor. But if Miami is playing a straight game, it looked like they were going to dominate, and they have. Interestingly enough, though, Ole Miss seems to be playing Miami better than Ohio State did. I mean, Who would have thought that? I certainly wouldn't have thought that. So I did lay the 3 points with Miami. What I'm looking at right now, I'm hoping that Miami comes out and they're able to get a nice drive and get a score. And I'm probably going to take an alternate line and take Ole Miss plus 3.5 at hopefully something like plus 250 just to protect myself. Because I have this feeling if Miami doesn't pull away like a couple of scores, if they let Ole Miss just hang around, I just think the psychological factor just really shifts to the Ole Miss side. And I think they believe in their guys. And Shambliss is that kind of guy that if they're within a score, I think Miami's going to start playing tight and nervous. And I think Ole Miss is going to be playing loose. So if Miami doesn't establish control and really start hammering this thing home with the run game, then I'm going to have to protect myself because I will be afraid of Shambliss, who's, you know, probably the best story in college football, arguably, this year. That's where my head's at. What do you guys think?
Well, it's interesting you said that because that's what Shambliss did to Georgia, right? I thought he was able to play loose and come from behind and took down the Georgia Bulldogs in the Sugar Bowl not too long ago. It's interesting you said you could see that happening tonight to Miami. Dan, it's it felt like early in the game Miami was running downhill. The Hurricanes seemed to be owning the line of scrimmage, especially the offensive line. But you look at halftime here, 25 carries for 72 yards. It doesn't indicate offensive line dominance by Miami. And I think that one big run by Kawan Lacy has kept the Rebels in this game, a 73-yard run. I'm interested to see what you would think here. If you did not have a pregame bet, looking at the halftime line and total, is there anything you would recommend playing to somebody who did not bet this game before kickoff?
I have to say I would take a stab at playing Ole Miss here. Okay. They have momentum going into the half. I think it was a mistake to take the ball first. And I understand why they did it. They were hoping that they could get Miami behind. If they could get somehow a quick opening score and then make Miami play their sort of game, a tempo game. I understand why they wanted to do that. But I thought that was a mistake because when you're jacked up right as the game's starting, you've got that kind of an artificial high. I think that favors the defense. Mm-hmm. And you saw what happened. It was a three and out, boom, a sack. It's over. And then Miami starts, you know, nice and easy, and they start driving down. So Miami's going to get the ball right now, and if they go three and out, like if they don't have a decent drive to start the second half, then, man, I think it is on for Ole Miss. And so I would probably take a stab there at Ole Miss, maybe even looking at an alternate line. Maybe if you could find a plus 3.5, getting you maybe plus 142 a price, you know, make it a field goal instead of 5.5. 5.5 is kind of a dead number. I don't know if I'd really want to do that, or maybe I would wait if Miami somehow drives down and maybe it stalls out and gets a field goal. Maybe you can hit that in-game line, you know, right before that happens. Again, you're rolling the dice to try to do that.
Dan Saley, Las Vegas pro bettor, college football handicapping specialist. It's funny he says that too, Tim, because typically when I bet on a team in a big game, I hate it when they receive to open the game.
Right.
Because you're going to be conservative with the play calls right out of the bat and probably punt and give away the advantage, and that's what Ole Miss did tonight.
Yeah, and the massive turn was Miami getting a sack or getting sacked, yep, and Ole Miss having a chance with their elite kicker to cut it to four there at the break. Pete Golding going into the locker room told ESPN, "We'll figure it out at halftime regarding Kawan Lacy and his hamstring." So we'll see. Will we get Kawan Lacy back out there? So you mentioned how you're feeling from a side. I think for me right now, and I think, Dan, you kind of echoed the same sentiments, it's a little bit of a feeling out process. We saw two long drives from this Miami team. If they suffocate Miami or Ole Miss here, then maybe I keep off. But for me, I might look at Ole Miss depending on how this first drive goes, and you might sacrifice a little bit of a number there. Anything on the total here? We were talking about it. I bet some first half under. It looked good for the first quarter, and then it did not once Kawan Lacy had the long run and you get the big explosive touchdown pass. So that was a loser for me. From a total standpoint, we're looking at right 56.5 right now for the full game with 30 points in the first half. Any feel on what to expect second half total-wise?
I mean, I'm not the biggest total guy. I think this is going to go over, personally. Something I would like to point out, if you don't mind, and this drives me nuts, and this is why you've often heard me be hesitant around Cristobal, the coach. That second drive they had, they're moving right down, or I'm sorry, was it the first drive maybe? They're moving right down the field. Everything's working fine. And third and three, instead of having Carson Beck do what he's been doing, you do a direct snap, trying to cause a big play, and it gets stuffed, and you end up with a field goal. That kind of thinking, it's so wrong, especially in this type of game. And let's point this out. Without Malachi Toney making a game-saving play on third down when they were down near the red zone, the score is going to be different, right? They were going to have to kick another field goal. I mean, if he doesn't somehow break that tackle and stretch out, then the score actually is going to look quite a bit different, right? Maybe it's just a one-point game right now. So, unfortunately, Cristobal in this sort of game situation, and this is the time I don't like him, is during the game. You know, before the game, he's great. I love him. I love what he does, how he's built the program. And he's an offensive line guy, you know, build it from the lines out. But it's in the game that just drives me crazy, because I have more faith in Golding to call in game with them right now, with Ole Miss. So, as far as we're at 30 points and the live line is what, over 56.5-ish, I think you can find for the over. We're talking 27 points. Yeah, I think we might see some fireworks if Miami doesn't come out and put their foot down.
Hey, Dan, we got just over a minute left here, and we want to have time to get your thoughts quickly on what's going to happen tomorrow night between Oregon and Indiana. Do you have a play on that? I think you lean Hoosiers, right?
That's right. Now, if you might remember back when they went to Oregon, I was on Indiana. I was on the show. I gave out that play. I liked it then. I like it now. And I realized, you know, Oregon's a better team. Quarterback has gotten better. Dante Moore, I'm sure he's improved. But this is what's blown me away about Indiana. Is it me, or do they seem to be acting like an Alabama team from 10 years ago, or from, you know, Georgia team from a few years ago? They don't act like they're just happy to be there. They act like they're the bully and they should be there. They act like they're the blue blood. And it's this no-nonsense approach. I think they're going to beat Oregon. I do like Oregon. Honestly, I was on them last week. But I think Indiana is a different animal right now. They're gonna roll here. They're going to win the title.
Dan Saley, appreciate the insight at halftime, and best of luck tomorrow with your bets.
Thank you, sir.
Halftime, once again, Miami, a 17-13 lead. Your live number has Miami, -5.5 total, 56.5. Canes will get the ball to start the second half.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Prime Time at halftime of the Fiesta Bowl. It is 17-13, Miami with the lead, but should the lead be bigger, Matt Eumanns? First half numbers, 228 total yards for Miami to 145 for Ole Miss. 22-44 time of possession for Miami to 7-16 for Ole Miss. But yet it's just a four-point game inside the locker room. Miami will get the ball to start the half. How aggressive will they be? Is this drive the drive that kind of depicts how this second half plays out?
Typically, when you say a team should have a bigger lead than it has, that does come back to haunt that team at some point. So we'll see if that happens to the Hurricanes. Dan Saley did say he wanted to reiterate that if Ole Miss is going to stop Miami on this opening drive, the end game over 56.5 is probably good. But if Miami opens with a long scoring drive, then probably not. Tim, what do you think we're going to see here? I know we're talking about the total, the pregame total. And the Bear, Chris Felica, played this under. You were saying you thought you might see a long clock-eating drive here and a field goal by the Hurricanes to open the second half.
Well, I was saying that a little tongue-in-cheek, okay. Saying, well, of course, the first half under will die, but the full game under will be there. We'll pass this across from Brett McMurphy, America's insider. He's at the game. Kawan Lacy warming up on the field. Appears he will play in the second half. That's good news.
Tim, it's hard to keep a true competitor off the field in a game of this magnitude, and unless it's Jay Cutler playing for the Bears in the NFC Championship game against the Packers.
Underway, second half, 17-13 is the score, and is a touchback, so the ball will be placed at Miami's 25-yard line. How aggressive, Matt, are the Miami Hurricanes on this drive, or is it another long, sustained drive? Their third drive of the game was a 15-play, 75-yard touchdown drive that took 8 minutes off the clock.
I don't know how aggressive they are. I think they'll go back probably to how they started the game, running the ball, letting your offensive line assert its dominance or take control of the game. I think that's Miami probably should have stuck with that game plan while it was working. I don't mind taking some deep shots. I think you have to take deep shots occasionally. But Carson Beck taking that sack there before the half was turned out to be a really negative play. Miami had the chance to increase its lead before the half. Tim instead handed the ball back to the Rebels, who put 3 points on the board and made this a four-point game at halftime. What was the first play call there? Run up the middle?
Run up the middle for about 6 yards. Okay. So kind of back to the well, if you will, for Miami. By the way, Chris Felica, I quoted him talking about – I thought he – whoa, never mind. I thought
they
that
got
was
the camera in your face.
Much
blocking
of
the TV. That's an incompletion on second down. It's going to be 3rd and 7. Carson Beck just doesn't have the body language of a winner. That kind of mopes around out there, slumped shoulders. I got to think there's a lot of NFL scouts who watch that and say, well, it's not going to be our guy.
I'd be curious to see how his pro prospects pan out. This was a guy that incorrectly was favored to be the number one pick last year heading into the college football season.
Probably incorrectly.
I'm just saying probably, yeah. I mean, a little bit off the mark. But a massive third down here.
Do you remember back when Spencer Rattler at DraftKings was the favorite to be a number one overall draft pick?
I do.
Yeah.
As Malachi Toney does what Malachi Toney does, and they get a screen pass out to him, and he gets a big first down. Man, a couple back-breaking plays that have happened to Ole Miss here tonight. One was a third down on that third drive of the game that led to a touchdown. Malachi Toney broke a couple of tackles, and here, Matt, a screen pass, a bubble screen to Malachi Toney, and he's able to pick up a huge third down on 3rd and 7. And remember, that 3rd and 5 that Miami converted as well on the touchdown drive towards the end of the first half, as now they go back deep and might get a flag here. Are we going to get a flag or no? You guys going to say good defense.
Could have had a flag. I'm glad they didn't throw it. I thought that was pretty good defense, even though he did grab the receiver a little bit there right before the ball arrived. But a deep shot there. But can see that grab a little bit around the neck. That could have been called. I'm glad it wasn't called. Pretty good D by the corner. See, when you got a team backed up in third and seven, you can't allow a first down on a wide receiver screen like that. That was totally misplayed by the corners and the safeties out there. But again, I think Miami needs to do this occasionally because it's going to open up the run game too. When you stretch the defense and take an occasional deep shots, it makes your running game more effective too. They're going to hand it here. Is that Fletcher?
Yep.
Up the middle, and that's a run. Look at that run for about 15, how about 20 yards? 20-yard run up the middle on second down.
And this Miami offensive line at times tonight has just been sheerly dominant. And Mark Fletcher got about 8 yards, and then the offensive line took
him
about another 10. Yeah. Wow. And right now, as we look at the live line, this is going to be – man, this is make or break time, I feel like, for Ole Miss's defense. They got to hold them to a field goal on this drive.
Well, this is one of those things where if you can wear down a defense with a running game like that, you're going to win the game if you stick to it. If you stick to it, and that's the key. They're going to run a flea flicker here.
Throw it.
Carson Beck, that's got to be grounding. Is that grounding?
I don't know. They might have said he was out of the pocket, but Ole Miss fans are looking for it. We're getting the refs to converge, that's and great. I think they're going to throw grounding here, Matt.
Why would you run a flea flicker when you're having that much success running the ball
getting
right out? You're bulldozing the defense, and then you're going to say, that's like what I was talking about earlier in the game, and Dan Saley brought up again at halftime. When you're having that success running the ball, why would you run the wildcat on third down? Why would you run a flea flicker on first down here? Carson Beck was wrapped up by the defender at the 46-yard line, throws it out of bounds. That's a clear grounding call. What's that? The sinister laugh.
Do you know that intentional grounding counts as a sack?
You're going to lose about 10 more rushing yards. Huh?
It's at negative 15 now.
Is that 15? Huh?
Oh, my God. Oh, it was fun. It was fun while it lasted. No. Yeah. Sometimes the numbers are that low for a reason. And a guy that ran for, 23 yards against Ohio State, now negative 15. I think that is toast. But speaking of toast, that just can't happen, Matt. You have second and 22, and Mark Fletcher gets skinny, and he gets up for about, 15 yards?
Mm-hmm.
So this Ole Miss defense continues to show that they are the weakest unit remaining in the college football playoff. Good blocking downfield and a big pickup there for Mark Fletcher. And now third and five?
Right now, I don't think Miami's going to lose this game.
I would be surprised.
It would take a Superman fourth quarter performance from Trinidad Chambliss, which we have not seen indications of so far. When you can control the line of scrimmage like Miami's offensive line is, you're going to have to really find a way to screw this up not to win it. And, ooh. Oh, boy. Carson Beck almost screwed it up right there. Tim.
So we got a fourth and eight now. So, Matt.
That pass out in the right flat sideline throw was almost picked off. Did the receiver slip? What happened there? Let's watch this again. Pressure on Beck's blind side here. Actually, the tackle held. That probably should have been a holding call. Watch this. The tackle holds him right there. Mm-hmm. Bell holds him. That's a holding call that was not called, or a holding that wasn't called. And then the pass out to the sideline probably should have been picked off. Fourth and eight, Carter Davis, who made a 38-yard field goal tonight, now lines one up from 51 yards.
Kick is up, and it is no good.
No good.
17-13. Well, Ole Miss bends, does not break.
What were we talking about? You're going to find ways to screw this game up if you're not going to win it? There you go.
Now Trinidad Chambliss got an opportunity to give his squad the lead here in the third quarter. I'm watching some video, very curious to see if Kawan Lacy does come back out. He has a right sleeve, or a sleeve on his right leg, Matt.
Yeah.
Will we see him? If we do see him, how effective is he? And how about Scott Seidenberg tweeting out, Kawan Lacy's rushing prop tonight was 77.5 yards. He has two carries for 75 yards.
I think he's going to come back.
I would hope so.
In a game like this, that guy does not want to stand on the sideline the rest of the night. Now, if you have a pulled hamstring, it's different. He might just have a tweaked hamstring. He's going to try to give it a go, which I think we'll probably see here in the second half.
Live total down to 53.5. So that drive only took about 3 minutes off the clock. So if you were looking at full game over, down to 53.5, I'm telling you.
Tim, considering the way Miami's offensive line was dominating at the line, How did the Hurricanes come away with no points on that drive?
Penalties. The flea flicker.
Flea flicker, which a sack, a penalty. Beck almost throwing a pick. They really screwed that drive up. They should have had points on the board.
They've screwed up a bunch of drives, man. They should be up by way more than four. The door open for Trinidad Chambliss and Ole Miss, who are 3.5-point underdogs right now. 17-13 is the score. What do we get from Ole Miss offense when we come back? It is VSiN Primetime.